Hey, patrons and YouTube members, and welcome back to your exclusive weekly patron cast. This time, season 3, episode 46, and there are two things I want to talk about. The first one is the channel, sponsors, the things that we're going to be doing, the Patreon exclusive news podcast that will be probably daily, how I'm gonna set it up, and things like that. And the second one will be an update on my new setup, since it's been, I think, about 2 months, maybe a bit more, that I've moved to this laptop. And since I made the video, I encountered a few other issues, and I wanted to just give an update on how things are going. So let's begin with the channel. So first, I wanted to talk about sponsors. I broached on that theme last week, and it turns out I was right to worry about Saifing. They will not be sponsoring the channel anymore for now, because apparently they've hit some difficulties. They can still operate the company, they still have enough funding for that, but they do have to watch their spending. They're a startup, and as you know, economic crisis, COVID, and inflation, and giant interest rates mean that funding startups is not as enticing for investors as other avenues for using their money, which means startups have a harder time getting some money. And so they have to watch their spending a bit more closely. So for now, they're out. They want to keep sponsoring if they're able to in the future, or at least that's what they said. But for now, it seems that we won't be working together anymore for now. No problems on my part with that. I mean, you have to watch your money and your spending. It's perfectly okay. I still think that Saifing is awesome. I still use the Portmaster, which is this great tool to watch and monitor your internet connection, but also set up like some DNS and ad blockers directly at the system level. It's really cool. I like it, and I will keep using it as long as the company is still around. I hope they manage to find some funding and keep going for longer, and I hope they can come back to sponsoring the channel. For now, though, they won't be. I still had the pleasure, though, of signing a one-year contract with Squarespace, though, for 2024. So this thing is secure for now 12 months, which is really nice. And I also reached out to Thunderbird to see if they wanted to keep the sponsorship agreement going after January. I'm obviously still waiting for an answer because it's a bit sooner than probably they were thinking of deliberating on that. I think they have to confirm that with the Mozilla subsidiary that runs them. Obviously, they're funded by users, so they have to watch their money as well, even though they have pretty good funding. So we'll have to wait and see if they're willing to keep going. We still have the end of November. They won't be sponsoring in December because that was agreed upon. It's not like the best month for sponsors. And they'll be sponsoring in January again. And after that, we'll see if they want to keep going or not. So for now, for early 2024, I have at least 3 sponsors active. I have TuxCare with 2 or 3 videos per month. I have Squarespace with 2 per month. And I have Proton with 2 per month, at least until, I think, the end of April or May. And I have Thunderbird for January at least. So this does leave a small gap in the sponsored videos, assuming Thunderbird renews. That leaves me with 8 to 9 sponsored videos per month. So I think it would be nice to find another sponsor for at least 1 per month. I hope Collabora wants to work with the channel. I still haven't heard back from them. I'll probably reach out again. They had asked me if I had a podcast, if they could sponsor the podcast as well. So I need to check out, to check on them and see what they're willing to do with the channel. But I would love to work with them. They seemed very happy with the sponsored video we did. So yeah, let's hope it's gonna work out. But at least I know that I have for sure 6 videos sponsored per month, which is more than enough to keep the channel going. And I still have Tuxedo for now. I have a replacement in the cards for Tuxedo if they decided to drop out, which is also good. And generally, like with YouTube ad revenue, with the Patreon cast and YouTube memberships going relatively strong, I think we're good to go for next year. Unless Proton drops after April or May, we should be pretty good. So I will still try and look for more sponsors just in case. I won't take anything though. I have declined a lot of stuff, even though I have some planned gaps in my sponsored videos. I will not take just any company because I do not want to work with anybody. It still has to conform to my standards, to my ethics. So I would rather not have a sponsor in a video than have a bad sponsor, or putting that in air quotes, but a sponsor that would, let's say, cheapen the image of the channel. Like, I don't want to have like Wondershare, Filmora, whatever, something that is Windows only. I don't want to have anything that isn't up to my standards. If it's not fully open source, it's not a giant problem for me as long as the product is good. But I don't want anything that has big controversies attached, and I don't want anything that just generally would be something you see everywhere that is just a one-off. I'm not interested in that. Now, in terms of performance, the channel is doing really well this week. The packaging formats video did okay. It's not the best, but it's not bad. It's 36,000 views for now, which is on par with what the channel generally does. And the latest news video is doing really, really well with more than 43,000 views after less than 24 hours, which is awesome. The podcast is also performing very nicely. The general tendency curve, if I look at the number of listens and downloads, is very positive. I have more listeners per episode each month, which is cool to see. Obviously, some months have less downloads because sometimes you only have 4 episodes, sometimes you have 5, depending on the number of weeks and how they're laid out during the month. But yeah, it's doing really, really well. It's really cool to see. Now, for the news videos and podcast, I found another way of doing it, because previously I was doing like the final writing on the new script generally on Friday or Saturday, and I recorded the podcast, and I was doing the whole news video the day after that, so either on Saturday morning or on Sunday morning. But this meant that for this video, I had to first check on everything that happened between the time I recorded the podcast and the time I wanted to record the video, and just generally retool the script for the podcast for the video, because I had to remove a few things, I had to change a few wordings, I had to add a few articles and pick the ones I wanted to keep in the video or not, and then I had to record the video, edit that A-roll, and then edit the full video. And it took quite a bit of time, so what I decided to do instead is, on the day I do the podcast, which is generally on Saturday, I will just finalize the script for the podcast, I will record the podcast, and at the end of that day, I will go back to that script, check on what's missing and what happened, and I will record the video at the end of the day and pre-edit it. So this means that on the next day, I only have to finalize the video. I found that generally between Saturday night and Sunday morning, there's nothing specifically important happening. If there is, I can always re-record the last little segment, but it also means that on Sunday morning, I have a bit less work to do on the video because I did a bit more on the previous day. I think this works really well. For now, I haven't missed anything important. And obviously, if there's something really crucial, I can always re-record that on Sunday morning, and it works really well. Now, let's talk about the daily news podcast for patrons and YouTube members. Reception for this has been very positive. Most comments that I got on this seem to think that it's a very good idea and would be interested in that. So it looks like we're going to do that. Starting in January, probably on like the first day of January, we'll start doing just that, this exclusive news show. I'll keep it short. I think it will be 10-minute stops every week. Of course, depending on what happens, if there's a lot of really cool stuff, then of course I'll be like covering everything I can. There were some worries about whether there's going to be some overlap with the weekly news podcast, and obviously, yes, there will be, because, well, those are the same news. So basically, the offerings will be: you've got the daily news show, if you've got the time and you're a supporter of the channel, whether it's on Patreon or on YouTube, you get the daily news show. If you don't have the time to listen to that, or if you prefer having like some kind of recap at the end of the week, you still have the weekly news podcast. It's still there if you prefer listening to that. And if you prefer a video, well, you have the weekly news video. So those are different offerings for different needs. Obviously, there's some overlap between the three tools, the three ways of getting those news, but they are not for the exact same use case, so you just pick the one you prefer. Obviously, if you listen to all the weekly news episodes, you won't be that interested in the weekly podcast or in the weekly video, but that's how it works. It's pretty normal. So now I need to see if Patreon lets me build an RSS feed just for that specific news podcast, or if it just bundles everything into a single audio feed with the Patreon cast. From what I could find online, it can only do one feed, but I'll dig deeper and see. If it can only do one feed, I'll try to label the episodes in a way that is very legible. So I'll probably start with news, like in capital letters, just for people to know that this is the news podcast. And I'll preface the Patreon cast with Patreon cast, so you know what's happening. It's not the best. I wish there were like different feeds, but it doesn't look like it can do it. And for YouTube members, I think I have two solutions. Either I share these daily news podcasts with Nextcloud, like I do with the Patreon cast, but that's not great if you want an RSS feed. Or I can just repackage them into a video without anything visual. I just put a channel logo or something, or a thank you message or whatever. And I publish that as a members-only video in a dedicated playlist, and people can just use that playlist as an RSS feed to get the new shows in their podcast client if they want to. I might even, like, in all the descriptions of these videos, write a little how to use this playlist as an RSS feed, so people always know how this thing works. It shouldn't take too much time to transform just the audio into a video. I can just slap the audio in Resolve, put a logo or a small animation that is auto-generated, and just export that and upload it. It's really no bother. It adds like 5 minutes. It's no problem. So this new show I will promote a little bit in the weekly news video and in the weekly news podcast, obviously. And hopefully it helps grow the Patreon a bit more, and it helps reduce the dependency on sponsors and YouTube ads. Every Patreon member, every YouTube member will get access to it, starting with like the $1 per month tier, because I don't want that to be an expensive thing. I just want people to think, okay, you know what? This guy is doing like daily work. It's nice. I want to support him. And they just like maybe support at $1 per month. If I can bring in like 100, 200, 300 listeners to that, I think it's pretty interesting. So we'll see how well it works. And speaking of podcasts, while I'm recording this, I'm in the process of updating my Castopod instance for the podcast to the latest version of Castopod. It's 1.6.5, I think. It's a big jump in version because I was still on 1.1. It doesn't bring that many new things. There's a slightly better UX in the podcast website itself to find the RSS feeds and stuff like that. And it also adds, for me, the ability to preview an episode's page before I publish it, which is something that was lacking. That lets me make sure that there are no like typos, problems beforehand. It's just like I'm saving time, and it's just a bit of peace of mind. It's a feature request I actually opened myself on the Castopod bug tracker, and they implemented it. It took about a year because, well, they're a small team and they have plenty of other things to do, but it's really cool that they added it. Now, this update is taking a very long time to complete. It has, like, I'm doing it through YunoHost, and so it's a YunoHost app that is being updated, and it does a backup, and this backup step is insanely long. I don't know why, and it also failed twice already, which means I had to go into my server and manually download the backup files because they don't show up in the backups in YunoHost because they are not complete, finalized backups. And if they're still here, the update fails. It sucks. It's always been an issue with me and YunoHost when updating Castopod. It always takes ages and it always fails at some point. Very annoying. I'm going to let it run. While it's running, the podcast website is still available, as far as I know anyways. I think it still works. Yes, it is. It is working, which is good. But yeah, I hope the update will complete at some point and I can finally move to that new update, because it does look like it's pretty interesting. And obviously, there might be some bug fixes, security fixes that are interesting as well. Now, let's talk a little bit about my new, well, recent setup with this one single laptop that replaced my desktop and my previous laptop, because I encountered a few more problems with KDE that I wanted to talk about, and some problems not related to KDE at all. Well, first, one of these problems, probably not linked to KDE specifically, is with Firefox. When I use the laptop as a laptop, I use display scaling, fractional scaling. I run it at 125%. There are absolutely no issues whatsoever with that scaling with any of the apps I use. And Firefox, I force into using Wayland because I want to have those touchpad gestures to go back and forward and smoother scrolling. It's just a better experience on Wayland than on X11. The issue is, it looks like Firefox on Wayland with fractional scaling in KDE doesn't work well for displaying menus. Every time I right-click on a web page to take a screenshot or save an image, when I open the main app menu, it just displays in a weird way. The menu doesn't pop up where it's supposed to be, and it's cut off. It's cut off vertically and horizontally. Sometimes I can scroll this menu, sometimes I can't. And it's very annoying because it hides some options that I actually want to click or see. It's really annoying. If I disable fractional scaling and just run the display at 100%, I don't have the issue. When my laptop is plugged into my ultra-wide, since this one doesn't use any scaling, it works perfectly. But when I use the laptop as a laptop, it kinda sucks. I don't want to move back to the ex-Wayland version of Firefox because it doesn't support the touchpad gestures to go back and forward, and scrolling is worse. And I rely on all of this more than I rely on the app's menus, so I'll just wait for a fix. Now, Firefox announced that they would enable Wayland support by default. You won't have to force an environment variable in KDE to enable it. So they will enable that, I think, in Firefox 121. Hopefully this fixes the problem, but I hope it does, because it's pretty annoying to have like cut-off menus and missing some options, and you have to estimate where they are and hit them with the arrow keys. It sucks, I don't like it, and it's very annoying. Now, another issue that I have with KDE is the plasma panel and its visibility features. It is very unreliable. I use the window scan cover mode, which means that the panel is hidden behind the window, but when I push my mouse cursor at the bottom of the screen, it's supposed to pop back up. It's not how I like to use things. I would rather have the panel IntelliHide, but for now, KDE doesn't support that. They will support it in Plasma 6. But so for now, window scan cover is the most suited mode to how I want to use my desktop. I don't want auto-hide because my panel, I like it visible when there's nothing that requires all the vertical height of the display. I don't want to have to go fetch the panel when I don't need to. Always visible doesn't work because it just uses too much space when I'm editing, for example. And I don't want the windows go below the panel either, because it hides some important UI elements for DaVinci Resolve. Resolve has its navigation bar at the bottom of the app, and so the panel covers it. It sucks. So I'm left with Windows Scan Cover, but technically it should work for me, because yes, windows just pop up in front of the panel, and if I just push my mouse at the bottom of the screen, it brings the panel back up, except sometimes the panel doesn't pop back up. There's no blue light hint that shows you that if you keep pushing, it's gonna pop up, and so the panel stays hidden behind the window until I actually move the window, which is annoying. It's bad. So Plasma 6 should have IntelliHide, which I can't wait for. But for now, it's an annoyance. Hopefully, this IntelliHide feature will work better. But for now, I don't like it. It's annoying. Now, another problem I have, which is not specifically KDE related, is with OBS. It doesn't work with NVENC anymore for some reason. NVENC being using the NVIDIA GPU to actually record the screen, which uses way less CPU, does better performance, and has better quality. It used to work perfectly before an update to OBS, but now it just fails to start a recording with NVENC entirely. It spews out a message about drivers, but drivers are installed, whether on the Flatpak version or as dev packages for my system. And so I have to use the software encoder using the CPU, which is much less efficient, and the quality is worse as well. And also OBS sometimes just crashes at startup for no reason. It opens and closes immediately, and if I open it in safe mode, then it works. Sometimes it does it, sometimes it doesn't. Really unreliable app. I always had issues with OBS. It's really good when it works, but every update you're crossing your fingers for it to keep working, and right now it doesn't. And I have the same issue with the Flatpak, and the dev version. And the dev version on TuxedoOS is a very old one because it's on the Jammy Jauntilope or whatever, Jackalope or whatever. So it's an old LTS base for the packages. So I use the Flatpak, and the Flatpak doesn't work either, and the dev version either. So it sucks. Maybe I should just delete all my user preferences and the app and reinstalling it. Maybe it's going to fix the issue. I'll give it a shot. But for now, it's not great. Now, a minor annoyance as well is I wish there was a way to automatically switch between keyboard layouts when my USB keyboard is plugged in. Because the laptop uses the regular French AZERTY layout. So it's not QWERTY, it's AZERTY. Like Q and W are swapped for A and Z. My external keyboard, though, at my desk is an old mechanical Apple keyboard. And so it's using the Apple AZERTY layout. And so I have to switch layouts manually by clicking the little indicator in the notification panel, the notification tray. It's not a lot of work, but sometimes I forget, I start typing, I realize that, yeah, the at symbol is not the at symbol anymore, and the exclamation point is not where it's supposed to be. And so I have to go back to click and modify what I type. It's annoying. I wish it could just switch automatically. There's probably a way to do that using a script, but I wish there was a graphical option to do so. Maybe there is one. If there is one in KDE, let me know. I couldn't find it, but there are so many options everywhere that, yeah, maybe I just missed it. And finally, I have an issue in KDE where it just doesn't show my Blue Yeti mic, which is the mic I'm using to record this exact show, in the audio inputs. It just displays the internal microphone, and so I cannot change which mic is the default. The microphone is there and is recognized, and I can select it when I'm recording through a web browser, through Audacity. I can pick it, it's there, and it works perfectly, but in the audio inputs list, it's not there for some reason. It's annoying because if I fail to select it, then I'm starting to record with the internal mic of the laptop, which is obviously a laptop mic, so it's really bad. And so the quality is terrible. I realized that after recording 10 minutes. I'm like, oh no, I did that again, and I have to just re-record everything. It sucks. I don't know why that happened. It used to work perfectly. Now it doesn't after an update to KDE. It's not a giant issue, but it does lack polish. Apart from that, I'm very happy with everything I'm using. The distro, TuxedoOS, works really well. I get regular updates to drivers, to packages. I don't have the Linux kernel 6.6 yet, but I'm pretty sure that's coming soon. And I can edit my videos on the couch using the laptop as a laptop, which is generally what I do. I record the video, I slap the SD card directly into the laptop because it has an SD card slot, I copy things, I edit all the A-roll on the couch with the laptop used as a laptop, and when I need some serious editing power, well, some serious editing setup, I just go back to my desk, I use the ultrawide monitor, a mouse, a keyboard, it's more efficient for a, like, harder edit. It's just a great setup, and I couldn't do it with the previous laptop because it lacked the chops to do it. The 3050 Ti was just not good enough, while the 4060 is much better. And using the laptop is really great to edit as well because the touchpad is huge, really smooth, and it's super nice to scrub through the timeline in Resolve. I have zero performance issues that I can notice. It exports videos really fast. The battery life is also really good even when editing. I can still get like 4 or 5 hours of editing, which is really nice for a laptop. Like, of course, if you compare that to using like one of the recent MacBook Pros, and yeah, sure, it's gonna work like for way longer. But for a PC, an Intel like x86 laptop, it is pretty damn good when using your internal dedicated GPU to the max. It's really solid. And the hybrid graphics mode, apart from the issue with OBS, hasn't let me down at all. And I'm pretty sure like the issue with OBS is a mismatch between the NVIDIA drivers that are available as a DEB and the ones available through Flatpak, because you can, applications automatically will install some NVIDIA-related things through Flatpak. Maybe there's just a mismatch of version. I checked with Flatpak list and the drivers installed. I have the two versions installed that are the same, so it should work. It doesn't. I don't know why. I'll try to find a solution online, maybe. It's not too big a problem, but it's still annoying. In the end, I think Plasma 6 will fix most of the issues I have with KDE right now, because it improves Wayland support, it improves scaling. Firefox will now ship with Wayland enabled by default, so maybe my menu problem will be fixed as well. Plasma panels will support IntelliHide, so that's going to fix it. It's only a matter of month. These are not showstoppers. I feel at ease with Plasma. I don't feel like I want to move back to GNOME or switch to something else, another distro or whatever. I miss the simplicity of the GNOME desktop. I miss the unified look of applications and just the general polish of GNOME. GNOME is more polished than KDE. There's no doubt about it. It is a more well-finished product and the apps are better as well. There's no denying that. But KDE is a really nice desktop to use, and I like all the widgets, I like having options, I like being able to change how my setup looks in a few clicks. I like it, I'm sticking to it, and I'll wait for Plasma 6 to see how things are going and if my problems are fixed. So this will conclude this episode. I hope you enjoyed listening to it. It was a bit rambly, I guess, but yeah, I guess they're all rambly these days. So thank you all for supporting the channel. I hope you still enjoy all the perks that you have and you enjoy the videos I put out. It's been a great ride. This year is almost over. It's insane to me. It went by so fast. And the channel is in a great place thanks to you all. So thank you all for supporting. Thank you all for listening. And I guess you will hear me next week. Bye!